Okay, well, why don't we get started today? One of the things of interest is that I'm not sure how many of our callers know that Kathy Marler is the Director of Client Relations for Member Solutions. So Kathy and I work a lot together. And prior to her coming on board, we had a conversation good year ago indicating that she was going to be creating this musical forms program, which I thought was extremely interesting because being involved in tournament circuits and all sorts of marketing things with demonstration teams, I always found musical forms to be one of the most interesting aspects in terms of presentation. And I also found people who were involved in doing them seem to always be having a great time, which, as everyone knows, is great for retention. So I was very excited when the program was completed, and I thought it would make a very unique topic because you don't really hear anything about musical forms. So what I'd like to do, Kathy, is just start off by asking you, where did you get the idea to do something that really there's no other sources out there that I've seen or at least heard about regarding musical forms. So what kind of led you to creating this program?
Well, Joe, I think one thing that led me to creating the program is just that, you know, my background, even before I started martial arts, was a competitive gymnastics choreographer. I used to create floor exercise routines, and there's so many similarities to what you have to do in the gymnastics industry to keep up and in the martial arts industry. And I realized there wasn't anything that was out that actually taught the process. You know, there are people who can make up musical forms and it just comes to them, but those are few and far between. I think most people could really benefit by, like, having a system. Like, okay, this is how you choose music. You don't just go grab music. This is what you consider. You know, this is – here's some different ways you can come up with a choreography. Here's exactly step-by-step how I do it, you know, based on my background as a choreographer in gymnastics and, you know, in martial arts as well. So – you know, it's something – I wanted to create something that wasn't out there, but also that I've had really good success with. And also, you know, I sneak the black belt testing for second degree and above to the side. I'm like, let me help you with that. Let me help you structure that musical form so you just don't get, you know, the verbal abuse we all know you love. But and I worked with some of the black belts in the school on process, and they really enjoyed it. So that's really why I wanted to create it. I don't see anything else out there like it, and I think so many people can benefit by doing musical forms in their schools.
Well, regarding those people, who exactly is the market within the school? Are we talking about, you know, just advanced students? Are we talking about people with some experience? Are we talking about beginners? Of, you know, when they're learning their forms, maybe it helps them learn it easier. You know, what group of people are we trying to target with the musical forms concept?
Really intermediate and up. The new students, I would wait to introduce any type, even a basic musical form, because they've got so much to work on already, learning balances and punches and kicks and things like that. But intermediate level and up, black belt club, people that have to do a lot of repetition in their systems because you know, there's a lot of maybe a traditional form they have to do over and over again, even though ideally you're making up the form. You can take bits and pieces and elements from those traditional forms and create another form for them to practice to increase their strength. So it's really black belt club, you know, people that just love martial arts in general in the school that are intermediate and up is really, you know, who this program is designed for.
You know, and one of the things that one of the things I mentioned initially was the fact that people seem to be having a great time. And I think one of the similarities that martial arts school owners have is the challenge with intermediate students with keeping them interested. At that point in their training, they've sort of gotten comfortable with being a student, but comfortableness can also lead to boredom. And musical form seems like something that would keep things exciting. Would you incorporate this in the classroom as part of their teaching, or would you exclude it and say, in order to learn musical forms, you need to participate, you know, on our demonstration team, or you have to be a member of the Black Belt Club? Is there some structure there as to who's our audience?
Yes, and I think, you know, first, I think that's going to be a personal preference depending on the school and the instructor that's running the program. But how I would incorporate this is if you're going to teach musical form seminars and charge for it, or if you're going to put it into the Black Belt Club curriculum, or, you know, if you're going to implement it anywhere in the system where they, you know, where, okay, you have to be in Black Belt Club or here's this extra seminar, that doesn't mean that I still want to teach little bits and pieces of it in regular class just to entice them and to let them see what they have to look forward to if they make it to Black Belt Club or if they attend the seminar. So I think in the classroom, in smaller doses, much shorter forms, is not a bad thing. It's great for motivation. But I think most people will like to put this in for demo teams, for Black Belt Club curriculum, for second-degree curriculum, second-degree black, that is, to teach seminars with it. And just maybe even for their own training. You know, maybe if, you know, they know they train a couple hours a day and they're kind of getting bored with it, well, this is a really good way to spice it up. It's kind of fun.
Well, you know, and it's funny, how things come around full circle, because the way that Kathy and I indirectly met a long time ago is I was at a school that one of the instructors was on the training, on the competitive circuit, compete in the same division with Kathy. So it's kind of interesting. And at that point in time, our school was doing musical forms for tournaments. And I got to tell you, you know, knowing a little bit about what you've done and knowing what we did back then, we were, you know, pretty clueless. It was sort of, you know, we didn't have anything to really go by. We sort of made it up as we went along. I think probably the best approach, what I'd like to do is just, because I am very ignorant on musical forms, is I'd like to just ask you if you can give us a little bit of an overview of your manual, because I think that would really be a good guide through the rest of the conference in terms of what are you covering within the manual, and maybe we can just kind of touch on each subject. I think that would give our audience the best idea as to what components make up how to create a musical form. And then we can, you know, in a very subtle way, promote your book, promote your manual at the same time. So
Okay. Where
does your manual start?
Okay. Well, basically the first thing everybody has to do is they've got to know how to select the right music. You know, if you ever see anybody do a form and the music just doesn't match that performer or just something's just not right, it kind of blows the whole thing. So the first thing we focus in on is how to pick the right music. You know, there's some different questions to answer about how to figure out the length, what type of melody or tempo you should use. You know, is it, you know, does it have to be crowd pleasing or crowd appealing music? You know, there's a whole profile that you can do, you know, on the person who's going to be performing or the people who are going to be performing to kind of help you narrow down what kind of music and how long it should be before you choose it, rather than just grabbing whatever you can. So that's one of the things that we cover. Another thing I cover is how to memorize the music. And now, most people wouldn't think of that, but you know what? If you're trying to make up a form and you've got music that you're not highly familiar with already, you've got to memorize both. You've got to know the music inside and out before you can start putting your choreography together.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second and just take a step back. You talked about selecting the music. Would you say that the person who's doing the form, whether it be an 8-year-old or a 13-year-old or an 18-year-old, male or female, how much of a factor does that play in the type of music you select?
Well, it plays a big factor. You know, let's say I have a student, weighs about 200 pounds, a big guy, very powerful. That's like his trademark. I mean, this guy is extremely powerful, not real explosive. Very powerful. I'm not going to give him a classical piece of music that's very soft. I use the example of, you know, Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies. Okay, that's not what you would put with him. You would look for music that matches his personality and his appearance, you know, powerful, short bursts of, you know, energetic music, you know, that would complement his strengths. If I've got an 8-year-old child, then it might be different to, you know, play something that is a bit younger, a little bit friendlier, that has some rhythm changes. So I'm looking at that as far as, you know, what their personality and their presence is like. You know, when you first look at them, what do they look like? You know, do they look like they're powerful? Do they look like they're, you know, very detail-oriented? and also with their skill. Their skill level has a lot to do with that. You know, I'm going to use music that's more repetitious and is easier to follow for somebody who's a lower level student, okay, as well as somebody who can't move fast.
Okay, interesting. And you can continue with the second part, but it was just something that I was wondering, because I've seen some things that sometimes doesn't match up. The music is great, but it just doesn't kind of go with the person who's doing the form. And you know, and I think about that now, it's like, oh, yeah, well, that's probably because, you know, they didn't choose the right piece of music. But back then, it just seemed awkward, and I really didn't put a finger on it that time. So
Right. Sometimes people choose music just because they like, you know, I like it, you know. Well, that's, right. You might like it, but that doesn't mean you should be doing it, unfortunately. Right. What else is in besides the music memorization?
How hard is it generally? Are you, when you're memorizing music, are you, you know, taking a piece of the music? Are you doing the whole song? Is it a 3-minute thing or a 5-minute thing? Or
yeah, it depends on the piece of the music. What we're trying to do in this system is we're keeping in mind that, okay, once the instructor learns this, they're going to have to teach this music to somebody else rather quickly.
Right.
Because let's say I have you in an hour and a half seminar. Joe, I've got to teach you not only the form, but you have to memorize the music before I can really, you know, put the form together for you.
Right.
So I'm going to keep in mind 3 different learning styles, the kinesthetic, you know, that learns by feeling, the audio that learns by listening, and the visual, you know, that learns by seeing. So I'm going to have you go through this, you know, listen to small portions of the music. You know, listen to it, you know, maybe clap it or tap it or snap your fingers to it. And, you know, I'm even going to maybe even write down a musical representation. You know, I'm going to maybe make a little shorthand every time I hear boom, 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 boom. I might write that on paper just to kind of get the feel for it. But it's designed to help you memorize music fast. I mean, not in an hour. It just depends on the piece of music. But if you just listen to the whole thing over and over again, that's not going to cater to the way most people learn, and it's going to take you longer to actually learn the music.
Well, and it definitely, being that it's musical forms, there's an educational aspect to music as well, which, you know, experts say that having children be involved in some kind of a musical education is important. I would guess that this would teach rhythm too for them, to that extent, that there would be that, you know, listening for the music, being able to break down and picking up the beats, and that's probably you know, an important side benefit to that. And I'm someone, as a child, who was not musically, I was very musically challenged, so that would have been kind of an interesting way for me to get some music exposure in class.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because a seminar, I was teaching a musical form seminar over the weekend, and I was kind of looking back to one of the adult students that just had no rhythm. You know, he had no fighting rhythm with music. With kata, no problem. He actually had fighting rhythm with kata, but with the music, he just couldn't hear the beats. He was almost tone deaf, and I was thinking, wow, you know, this really would have helped him out. You know, to have him clap and snap and tap, I just couldn't understand why he couldn't hear those beats, because he was so talented. But this type of a system, I think would have probably helped him. So,
absolutely.
Funny you mentioned that. So,
cool.
We also have design strategies. That's once somebody really knows how to pick the music, the biggest challenge, I think, for most people is figuring out what goes where, you know, what moves to put where, how the pattern's going to go, you know, how to position it for your audience so they can appreciate it most. So there's a whole section in the middle called 10 Winning Choreography Strategies to really help somebody go through step by step and piece together a form without having to get frustrated.
Right. Well, you know, I can only imagine how difficult it would be to take a form that you already know and put it to music, because it's sort of backwards, right? You'd almost have to have custom music to match the form. And what your approach basically says, you pick out the music, and now you got to take your martial arts education and create something that will go with that music, and you probably end up with a million times better result.
Well, you do, and those are two different beasts, definitely. I mean, you know, it'd be great to have our traditional forms put to music. And yes, you would want somebody to actually create the music to go with it for you, or take what's already there and add to it. But that's not, that wouldn't really involve a lot of creativity. So this is kind of like a whole different thing. This is, you know, yes, you know, figuring out, you know, what goes where and, you know, choosing the music first and then putting together your combinations, you know, based on a lot of different factors on how you're going to use the form in the first place. But, and putting it together. And I think it's a lot more fun than just, you know, taking cantata, you know, and just putting it to music. I think it's a lot more fun to actually create something.
Sure.
That nobody else has.
I agree. That was sort of the challenge that we had, school that I was involved with in the late 80s. It was a traditional Okinawan style, shore and roux, actually. And it was very, very difficult. So in order to compete in the tournaments in that area, we had to develop our own forms. And the whole process was a lot of fun. It would have been great to have a program like this to make sure that all the T's were crossed and I's were dotted and that we did things in a proper way, because we kind of just, you know, flew into the wind on it. You know, it wasn't very structured, but it was a lot of fun. Now, you talk about the middle section, you were saying before I interrupted you about there's 10 different strategies.
Yes.
Can you go through a few of those with us?
Sure, absolutely. I think one of the biggest strategy that I think everybody should start with before they try to do their choreography is to make a written elements list. You know, to actually, okay, make this huge list on a wipe-off board, a piece of paper, you know, however you like, but write down all the different balances, the punches, the kicks, the blocks, you know, the combinations that you absolutely would consider putting in the form. That way, when you go to piece together your form, you'll be able to look at that board and go, okay, gosh, I need two moves right now. Oh, well, why don't I take that one and that one? Or I can say, well, geez, you know, I've already put in three front kicks, so I better show some diversity, and now I need to put in a low high kick, spin back kick, for example. So creating a written elements list is like one of the most important factors, I think, in developing choreography. Makes it so much easier. Also, some people forget to create space boundaries, so we want to do that before we even put our form together. And a space boundary is just taking a moment to go, okay, how am I using this form? Okay, if it's for competition, then I better go check my rule book and see how big the rings are always going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to be 12 by 12, 14 by 14. Or is this form for, you know, am I going to perform this form in a demonstration on a teeny stage that's 6 by 4? You have to know all this before you put together your choreography, or you could run into some challenges. So you mark up your space boundaries. The third one is to make sure that when you create for somebody else or yourself, that you're matching the techniques to the performer's skill level. You don't want to, if you're creating a competition form or, let's say, a demo team form, you don't want to have somebody doing something that is way above their skill level just because they can almost do it. You want to make sure they're showcasing their best techniques. Now, if you're using it for a different purpose, like to increase their proficiency, yeah, some techniques are not the greatest at, that's a different story.
Right.
But normally you want to, you know, match the performer's skill level to that person. A fourth strategy is to make sure that you balance the form by, you know, repeating some combos on both sides of the body. You don't want your form to be so wild and creative that there's no structure to it. Because if you're going to take it to competition, or if you're going to teach it to, say, intermediate students, they need to see something that they already know that they are used to doing. And most katas do, you know, techniques on both sides of the body for balance. If it's for competition, absolutely, because you have judges from all different types of backgrounds, you want to have some type of traditional structure with the creativity put in it.
You don't want to be all over the place. You have to show them that, I might not have seen this form before, but whoever put it together really paid attention to the form basics.
Exactly. You know, you don't know who's going to be watching you, but you want to be able to show some structure in the midst of the creativity.
And, you know, one of the other, I think on point three, you were talking about making sure that the student performs within their own skill level, especially if they're doing a demonstration to the outside the school or outside the industry, in a sense. They're not performing in front of their peers or other instructors, but if they're doing their presentation for the possibility of appealing to non-martial art students to become students,
right.
You want to show them something that they can envision themselves doing. So in that particular environment, not getting overly flashy can can also be a very important benefit to making that a success, I would gather.
Sure, sure, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's on all your stuff. You always make me think about things as you're talking. So
I think I'm going to teach you a musical form really soon. I can just tell. I'm going to get you interested. The fifth strategy is to use a variety of directions in the pattern. You know, if you're if your traditional forms go straight up and straight back a lot, or just maybe, you know, go 90 left and 90 right, really there's like a directional chart I've got in the program that gives you like 8 different directional options, and it's nice to try to, you know, use at least 6 of those 8 in your pattern, you know, so you have just an interesting structure to your form. The sixth one is to make sure, and this might sound obvious, but not everybody does it, but to make sure that you're actually placing the techniques on a musical beat. Some people just have music playing in the background, and that's not as interesting as when somebody's actually doing something on the beat. And also sometimes, you know, there might be a lot of different beats within the music. Choosing the strong ones, I think, is really important. The seventh strategy is to be aware of, you know, what techniques you're doing and where they would look best. For example, if my audience is straight in front of me and I've got this sky-high, you know, vertical sidekick, I don't want to do it with my back to the audience. I want them to see that. So I'm going to throw that, you know, vertical sidekick straight ahead, or I'm going to go to the left or the right angle. Depending if I'm using my left leg, I'll go left. If I'm doing a right sidekick, I would go to the right, so that they see the front of me, the open side, and they can fully appreciate it. You don't want to camouflage things that look good. But strategy number 8 is to camouflage your weaknesses. So if you are competing, or creating a competition form or a demonstration team form, for whatever reason, if there's a couple techniques in there that you feel you have to do, you want to make sure you do it in such a way that it looks strong. An example that just, it always comes to my mind is in the late 80s, Charlie Lee won tons and tons of grand championships for kata, and he jumped constantly. He was always doing jump kicks. He was super fast with his hands. And, you know, one day I grabbed him and I'm like, Charlie, why are you jumping so much? What is up with that? You know, you jump, you do front kicks, you do this, you know, you're constantly jumping. And he's like, well, Kathy, I'm disguising the fact that I can't kick straight up like Jean Fournette or like some of these other guys. I'm like, you're joking. I didn't know you couldn't kick straight up. He's like, no. They come out here and they kick straight up, and I'm not that flexible. So I'm super fast and I jump. I'm like, oh. So I learned a very valuable lesson to always camouflage your weaknesses and capitalize on your strengths. The ninth strategy is to make sure that you create eye-appealing combos by using different target areas. Instead of always focusing your punches to the center of the body or your kicks to the center of the body, you know, you might go high, low, medium, you know, with your punching combinations. It just creates a whole different look than always focusing on hitting the same spot. It makes it a lot more interesting to watch. And then my very, very, very favorite strategy is number 10. While you're putting it together, if you get stuck, keep going anyway. If you just can't figure out what goes in a certain portion of the music, you just stop and go, okay, I'll just throw in a couple filler moves. Let me throw in 3 punches right here, and then another day I'll come back and I'll change that. So really your musical form is always a work in progress. It can always get better. You know, you're going to always gain more insight. In 2 months you're going to go, I thought that was good. You know, now, you know, let me fix that. You know, now I see what I really could be doing there to really make it stronger.
Well, when it's done, you know, when it's done properly, it's a very artistic expression, and because it's something that's coming from within the student, you hope as an instructor that they would make changes in it as time goes on. So I think that's a great strategy, because what you're basically saying is put what you think should go there now, and over time through practice, you'll probably develop thoughts and ideas to improve upon it, and I think that's a very, very important strategy, because sometimes people can get hung up on a spot and, you know, not get to the real beef part of the presentation, or at least getting through to that point. Which application do you think has the most benefit for the student? Do you think that it's on a tournament circuit? And I know you might be a little biased for that, or do you think from a an outside demonstration type of venue where perhaps people are interested more in the entertainment of it as opposed to maybe the artistic.
You know, Joe, I think that this, you know, you're asking me how the students can benefit most. They can benefit most. The more students that do this, the more it's going to benefit them. So I would have to say that, you know, in the classroom, as a retention tool, in the curriculum for some, maybe some higher level belts or even, you know, as black belt test curriculum, and I would say, black belt club, you know, special events. I think that even kids with ADHD can do some things to music. You know, they can really get into that. It's a different part of your brain than, you know, than the logic is found. And also, you know, some people use music to help them memorize things. So I really think everybody can benefit. And, you know, when I've taught in other people's schools as well as the school, well, I teach in somebody else's school now, but when I travel around and do musical forms with kids and with adults, they all love it. I'm always amazed at some of the people, you know, that seem like, oh, you don't seem like you'd be the musical form type, but that really do want to learn it and try it because it's just really different. And it's fun, and when there's no pressure involved, not like competition, I think that they can really, you know, benefit from it the most. Of course, if they are competing, they're competing, and yes, it's going to help them too. But I think the average student is going to have fun with this, you know, an hour seminar, a book club, you know, or every now and then getting to do it in class or short doses. And just to add further, you know, nothing says that you can't teach little ninjas and preschoolers a little 6 to 8 move kata and put some heavy repetitive music in the background and just let them do it for fun.
Absolutely.
You could even do it with little guys.
The thing that, you know, I try to step into the school owner's shoes and look at it from their perspective. And to me, the things that jump out that would make me interested in incorporating musical forms in my school would be, the first thing is that I have to be a realist and understand that chances are the average student will not practice at home. The average student comes to class, does their thing, and I'd be very lucky if they really worked hard on their stuff, with the exception of a week before promotion day.
Okay.
So I would look at musical forms as something that would be fun homework for them to, you know, go home, find a song. Very, very rarely do you run into a child who doesn't have some kind of favorite music. But try to find a piece of music, put 4 or 5 moves into it, and come back to class and, you know, be prepared to show that. This could be, in my mind, a great way to get kids practicing at home, because this would be something creative and fun for them to do as opposed to practicing moves in a repetitious way in front of their bathroom mirror or, you know, their bedroom mirror. So I see increased practice for students as a very, very big benefit for the student. And I can't forget how much fun people seem to have with musical forms in the classroom. It generates a camaraderie with students, which is going to bring me to my next question, Kathy, which is how does this work where you have, say, a group of students that want to create a musical form in terms of a team? You know, obviously demonstration teams usually are doing things in groups of 4, 5, 6, 10 people, sometimes as one person. But are there any differences between doing it with a bunch of people versus an individual?
Well, there are differences, but there's more similarities. When I was over, I got to go to the Middle East and actually do musical forms in Dubai on the Microsoft podium to help sell Microsoft products years ago. But we did, you know, solos. We did three-person form. We did, I think, a five-person form as well. And the same principles apply, the same choreography principles. The music selection's got to be right for both people. The same general principles apply. You know, one thing, you know, you would want to keep in mind with a group is you would just want to make sure that you would have a combination of both things synchronized together where you're both actually doing moves together at the same time, and maybe a couple little solo places in there. Wouldn't hurt anything. Not too many solos, but most of it would have to be synchronized. So, you know, and there's so much you can do with that, too. You can take it and make it really extensive and add all kinds of wild things in there, board breaks and, you know, weapons and one-step sparring and self-defense and things like that for demonstration purposes. But basically, the principles are the same.
Well, you kind of stole my next question. I was going to jump right in. I was going to jump right into the weapons thing in terms of, you know, is there any differences when you're dealing with weapons? And I think you've kind of answered that. But let me see if I can throw in another question on weapons. Are there particular weapons that work best with musical forms? And if so, which ones do you recommend? And then my second question on that would be, again, with skill level, you talked about earlier that, you know, you don't want people doing anything that they shouldn't be doing. So would there be a different, you know, would you leave that more to advanced students versus intermediate?
Are you saying weapons training or?
Weapons with musical forms.
I think that completely depends on what the school's curriculum has been. There are schools that introduce weapons early on. So if their students early on have been introduced to, you know, the bow and, you know, some different commas and some different weapons, then there's no reason intermediate to advanced can't be doing musical forms with weapons if they choose to.
Okay.
It might be easier to teach them an empty hand form or create an empty hand form that they can also turn around the next day, do the same form with the weapon in their hands. As far as the weapon goes, I don't think there's any one that goes better with musical forms. It's not so much the weapon as what you do with it. So the bow gives you a lot of opportunity to change up the, you know, the level and the moves and the spins and things. But, you know, all of them really do. So I think it's all in the choreography, really.
Yeah. The one that I really enjoyed was certainly with the bow. And also nunchucks as well. I mean, and I would have to think that doing a musical form with nunchucks would be pretty challenging because they're, you know, you do have some of the power moves there, but it's usually more, it's more just a lot of motion and fluidness, whereas the bow, you can really snap to certain beats. And so, yeah, I was just curious about that in particular because I've seen some with size, you know, which are pretty good, but, you know, the ones that always stick to my mind are things like the bow. Also, and I don't know the name of it, I'm kind of embarrassed here, the Chinese weapon with the, it's almost like a sword, but it's pretty flexible. I've seen those.
Sword,
you know what
I
I'm talking about? They're like,
they've got a whip chain. They've got a broadsword. They've got the. They've got a lot of things.
Yeah, just some of the. Well, and I think that some of the Chinese forms look really, really great with musical forms. I think this was a great program to develop. I think that a lot of people who are not incorporating music, just probably because it's not mainstream, really are missing a great opportunity to retain more students, to get them motivated and get them excited. Again, I have to keep going back to the fact that everybody was having a great time creating them, doing them, practicing them, and from the business end of things, which, you know, we always have to look at, retention was strong, and that's, you know, that's the bottom line is you want to make sure that you keep your students, and anything you can do to facilitate that the best. Did I miss anything, Kathy, or now would be a good time to turn it over to our clients to ask some questions of their own?
Okay. Yeah, let's let them ask some questions. Most definitely. I was just going to say there is a little teaching module in here as well because I think it's really important to be able to pace your class properly. If you're going to teach musical forms in a seminar, you definitely have to cover everything in adequate time. So there's some lesson plans and things like that. But, yeah, let's. Does anybody have any questions I can help you with?
Hi, Kathy. This is Charles.
Hi, Charles.
Could you speak a little bit about how we can use this as a recruitment, as a retention tool? I can, you know, pretty much see how it'll cause excitement with the students, but how to market it internally as well as externally.
Okay. Well, marketing it internally, honestly, is going to be the easiest by far for you. Internally, just because You know, you've already got the students that are there. They're probably, you know, they usually crave something new, different, and exciting. So it's a lot easier to maybe, if you're going to do seminars or if you're creating a demo team, you know, whatever you're going to do with it, if you create a little teaser form,
mm-hmm.
Like, or you might even create a form and actually have somebody perform it in class and then let them know, okay, this is, you know, this form that you just saw, how many of you guys would like to learn that? Great. You know, we have this seminar coming up. So you can actually just show little bits and pieces of it in class or actually take them through the first 4 or 8 moves just to give them some enthusiasm towards whatever, you know, you're wanting to promote. Externally, I think it's a little bit tougher. I think that it could be used when somebody's in the school for an introductory program. If the kids are doing musical forms in the next class or if you're able to show pictures or video or actually let the parent know, you know, at this level, this is what we do, but at this level, watch this. You know, this is what they get to do. You know, and then, you know, you can use it to help actually sell your program. You know, because I'm sure if you ask the child, does that look exciting to you? You know, they're going to be like, yeah, I want to do that. That looks like Power Rangers. You know, that looks like something that's really, really cool. So I think that's how you could use it externally, as well as in demonstrations. You could use it externally to draw positive attention to the school and showcase a lot of different types of students doing different things to musical forms just to make a really good overall impression. And, you know, once again, everybody has a really good time, so that's always a big plus. Did that help at all?
Yes, it did. Which,
okay.
You kind of touched on a couple of the areas there that I was curious about as well.
Okay.
Your recommendation as far as having it as a cycle topic, perhaps in one of the upgradable clubs that we have within our school, like a master's club or a leadership club, or using it more as a weekend seminar event that you would have on a regular basis in order to get people that might not upgrade into the more expensive clubs but be willing to take a weekend seminar to learn a little bit more about it to maybe entice them? Or would you say maybe both?
I would say use it as both. You know, you could use it from time to time in Black Belt Club, but it depends what your school goals are. But I think it makes a very popular special event. You know, it's pretty easy to charge between $25 and $40 for an hour and a half, 2 hour seminar, you know, and definitely get that and have an adult seminar as well as have a children's seminar. And in Black Belt Club, I think it's a great rotation. I think it's a great way to put that in and use that as a tool, you know, for upgrades. But at the same time, you know, the students that are in Black Belt Club, they're looking for something new to do, something exciting, and they can take, you know, they can take the intensity, you know, it can get to of doing that form over and over again and really liking it. So, but those are the main ways I like to use it. I would use it to, I would also use it if I was having a challenge with teaching a certain technique or getting my students to do repetition on certain things. You know, I would create a very short form using those techniques and drill them that way as well.
Does anyone have any other questions they'd like to ask Kathy at this time? There's a great opportunity to think about how this can apply in your school. And, you know, this is a great program that can really make an impact on retention. It can make an impact on, as Charles was looking, is for recruitment. I know that I've been to various different fairs or, you know, things where they've had martial arts demonstrations going on, and you know, there have been a few times where a musical presentation was being performed, and it really captures your attention to say, hey, what's going on over there? And obviously, once you see what's happening, and then it's the martial arts also draws you in, you sort of have you know, double the opportunity to get people to look at what's going on and see if this is something that they like to get their family involved in at some point. You know, before we take any other questions, I want to give our listeners our phone number in our sales department, which is 888-277-4409, because Kathy Obviously, as with Member Solutions, we have a special discount on the Musical Forms program through the sales department. If they wanted to get some additional information about the program, the website, Kathy, is?
It's just createmusicalforms.com.
So they can go there and they can kind of get a more visual look at what's what awaits them. I've seen the program. It's well thought out. It's well organized. I wish we had this back in the late 80s when we were making up our stuff. And I also had the privilege of also meeting Charlie Lee and also taking a three-hour seminar with him, and he's absolutely phenomenal. He actually taught me a lot about how to do competitive forms in general, and I bet you he would have appreciated this type of manual at his disposal as well. So does anybody have any other questions out there regarding the musical forms?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Fire away. Yes, we can.
Great. This is Leary in Atlanta. I was just curious. You mentioned, Kathy, the word repetition. So, for example, if with the traditional forms, you know, the H pattern forms, is there a is I could see you just sparked a creative note in my head there, just seeing taking those traditional forms, which can be boring on a repetitious basis, but putting music to it. Is there a specific music that you would recommend, or do we let the students pick out their own music, or what would you suggest?
Okay, now are we talking about them putting it together with the forms they already know?
Yeah, the reason that I asked that question, I mean, I heard what you said about, you know, coming up with a list and then taking from that list and then finding the music and making it work. But if you wanted to add some motivation and some inspiration with some of the forms that you already do, do you have a method for doing that, or do you suggest not doing that and going to the creative side altogether?
Well, believe it or not, it's actually easier to go to the creative side. But I would still, that is still far better than doing, you know, not doing anything with music. I would say, sure, you know, they might have to choose something that's repetitious to make it work, like a repetitious piece of music where it's kind of got a steady beat. If it's just to put the form to and they don't really, you know, they're not taking it to competition or they're not doing anything else with it, that would be fine. Because it's going to be difficult to go looking for music that fits the fighting rhythm of that form, unless they are, you know, one of these kids that can use one of those little music editing programs and maybe put in some boom, boom, you know, where it needs to go for fighting rhythm. But it might be a fun contest to have, just to, like, let them do it and have a little talent night or something, you know, let them come in and bring that. And, you know, if you have 5 or 10 people do it, one or two might find something that sounds good enough for you to use on an ongoing basis, too. Your teenagers are a really good source for music, by the way.
Right. It seems to me that you could take, instead of actually doing the rhythm of the form the way it was originally put, that if you had music, you could change the rhythm and still use the movements.
Right. You may be able to do that, definitely. And, you know, just a piece of music just came to mind that's very repetitious that, you know, might be okay for some of the basic forms. It would be something like, it's called Start the Commotion. It goes like, da-na-na, I shouldn't say. I'm not a singer or a hummer. I better stop right there. But Start the Commotion. Joe's going to bust my chops later on that. But it's very repetitious. It's not something I'd recommend for competition or anything
Who does Start the Commotion?
That I don't know. But you can probably search it on the web and find a million versions to download.
Oh, okay.
Just Start the Commotion. They used it in a car commercial. That's how I recall it.
All right.
But that's a very basic one.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good question. Yeah, if I was making up a form, I think it would be more like a G instead of an H. So, well, we're just about getting close to the end. Does anyone have any other questions regarding the program?
I had just a quick one. This is Jennifer from Kent, Washington. And the reason we had looked into doing this is that we want to try to capture that teenage market and keep them involved in the program when they get into upper belt level, and we tend to lose them to girlfriends and cars and things. And they love music. I have a lot of students that are drawn to the capoeira and different arts like that because of the music and the rhythm. My question is, if I'm allowing them to create their own musical forms for demonstration, how can I tactfully put some limitations on what type of music they can use? And have you run into that problem at all?
Yeah, especially in this day and age when they can, you know, there's all these remixes of all these foul words in them.
Right.
Yeah, I would give them guidelines. I would just say, okay, you know, here are the guidelines. The guidelines is, you know, number one, it can't be, you know, anything with bad language. I mean, if you really don't want rap or any country or whatever you don't want, just say, okay, it's got to be pop or it's got to be classical or it's got to be this, no bluegrass, you know, or whatever it is. I have nothing against bluegrass, but
right.
I'm just saying, you know, go ahead and just spell it out and say, here are, you know, it's like a project for them. Here's your mission. Okay, can't have foul language. You know, the type of music it, you know, describe. This is the type of music it should be. Give them some examples, if you can, of appropriate music. Mm-hmm. That you feel is appropriate, so they have an idea of what to go on. And, you know, if you have certain techniques you want them to put in, almost like a compulsory, you know, requirement.
Right, gymnastics, yeah.
You know, yeah, if you have, yeah, exactly. If you have something that you definitely want them to have in, tell them, okay, it has to have, you know, these three kicks and these, you know, this. And other than that, the sky's the limit. Mm-hmm. And then let them go do it. Because otherwise what happens is they come back and you're like, oh, my gosh. You can't use that music.
Right. Well, that's what my son already is like, oh, I've got this. Can I do it to Eminem? And I'm like, no.
No.
Because trying to find, that's the music that they enjoy, but it's still got to parallel the martial arts.
Right. Now, it would be different if they were doing a demonstration for high school students.
Right.
Then you would let them possibly use that music in that in that venue, but not at the mall. You know, not at the mall to show the reputation of your whole school.
Right.
You know. But, you know, it,
that's a good point.
Yeah, so there are times when it is appropriate, without the language, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. That question actually came up over the weekend for me, so because they were letting, you know, they had the same thing. They were letting teenagers go loose, and they were coming back with some really creative things.
Yeah.
Well, I just love the whole concept of it, because I'm a little biased because I enjoy watching the musical forms. They're the things that get my attention at various tournaments and shows. And look, you know, we go to, you know, the largest martial arts events in our industry. For example, you know, the Super Show in Vegas last May, there were quite a few demonstrations that were forms. Ernie Reyes had done one, I believe the XMA had done one. They were all put to music, and they're all dynamic, and they're all very entertaining, they're exciting, they're motivating. Why shouldn't school owners take that excitement and bottle it up and take advantage of that in their own schools and generate enthusiasm amongst the entire school? And again, there's a strong camaraderie there when people are creating things and working together in teams. I mean, you can do all sorts of things. You can actually probably get groups of students together and form teams and do, you know, a competition within the school and have prizes. And I mean, there's probably all sorts of crazy stuff you can have fun with that involve musical forms. And I don't think anybody on any one of those teams is dropping out because they're bored.
Right.
So that's just an idea that popped into my head. So, well, it looks like we're just about ready to wrap up. If anyone has any last-minute questions, we'll take them. Otherwise, we'll call it a wrap.
It's Charles again. I've always got another question.
Hey, we love that, Charles.
For those of us that have never done musical forms before, is our program that you offer now, is it going to be step-by-step enough where, although we cannot do it, we'll be able to teach it to other children, one. Two, for those of us that do traditional styles that aren't very flashy looking, are you including movements and combinations in the program that we can easily teach that will look a little more flashy? And, of course, the student's ultimate question, how long will it take on an average for them to learn these type of things?
Okay, that was three. Okay, so let me see if I can go back and get that first one. Okay, so I'm recommending that you do one. even if it's in private, that you go ahead and use the process while you're learning it and actually make one up for yourself. You know, even if you don't think it's the greatest thing, do it so you understand, like, how it feels to be a student and learning that.
Okay.
I think the second thing is I'm not giving you the moves. You're developing the moves. I'm teaching you, like, how to structure your moves and put them together. But when you make that written elements list, mm-hmm. you're going to be writing down all the techniques you guys are going to possibly put into your form. So if there's a flashy move, there's a flashy move. Now, there is, I didn't mention that because I didn't want it to be, I don't want it to be a highlight of the program. There is a sample form on there of me doing an 1812 overture, you know, and actually some kids who barely got a cram course doing some different segments just to show you what students are going to look like.
Okay.
But I don't want that. I don't want people to go, oh, good, I'm buying this because I want a musical form already done. I want it's designed to teach you the process, but there is a little cheat form on it for you that is very it's a mixture of very easy traditional stuff. It gets a little harder at the end. But you could also take that form that's on there if you, you know, feel like, yeah, I'm getting really stuck, and you could take it and then take everything I've put out of there and put your own stuff in, or, you know, punch the way you punch, put your own things in. Okay, there's a kick there. I want to do that kick. Let's put this kick in instead. You can use it as a template. Again, I didn't really want that to be a selling point of the program. It's there, but I want the process. You know, it's the process that I was really wanting to get out there. And then your third question, what was it?
The students, if we're, like, let's say we're getting them excited, hey, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to perform it in X number of weeks at our next graduation.
Awesome.
How long would it take for them, on an average, to learn to choreograph and syncopate their movements to a musical theme?
Okay, that's going to depend on each individual person. But what I would recommend is if you're going to make that a big project for them, I would recommend that you actually hold classes on how to do it using the program.
Right.
Like, for example, you might have an hour on this Saturday where you guys make the written elements list and start putting together some, you know, come up with the music first. Excuse me, I'm backwards. You know, come up with the music first, or have them all go find music and edit it down to about a minute to a minute and a half max. And the program will give you the timeline guidelines, but that's basically what I would do with beginners. A minute sounds like nothing, but this weekend I taught the 1812 overture for 1 minute, and I think we did 60 to 70 moves in that kata. We did a lot. So I would have them, you know, do the music, pick the music, come in, screen it, select it for everybody. If it's the same piece, great, or if you're using different music, you know, iron that out. Then another time, have them come in with a written elements list already done. Send them home with that as, you know, as homework, and that's one of the printouts on your CD. You know, and then have them do, you know, there's another project in there called Making Musical Marks. It's where you listen to the music and you actually write down what you hear. Like, if I hear, like, dun 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 dun, I'm making marks 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Then you're going to be able to actually go, oh, look, I need 5 moves to complete that combo. I'm going to do 2 moves, dun-ta-dun-ta-dun-ta, and then I'm going to go bum, bum, bum. I need 3 more moves. And there's a musical marks explanation and worksheet in there, too. So that's another thing they can do. And then you have another session where you come back in and actually help them piece that together. So I would say, in the long-winded way that I'm answering your question, I would probably try to give them at least 8 weeks. Because it's going to probably take them about 4 weeks to make it, and you want them to rehearse for about 4 weeks so they look nice.
Super.
And, you know, just to add a little something to that second one, that second question you had, one of the great benefits of the program is that it's not a style-specific type of thing, and it's really based on what the student already knows to date. So if someone's a black belt, they're obviously going to have a lot more moves and techniques at their disposal to be more dynamic and fancy. But the intermediate person may not have as many things. But what's really nice is that the music really elevates even the most basic moves. You know, a reverse punch can be very dynamic if it hits the beat at the right time in the song. And that's really what I find to be so much fun with the whole musical forms concept, is that it's so personal and it's very creative. It allows the student to express themselves, and you know, and you don't have to say, hey, you know, in order for you to do this, you need to learn these 10 flashy moves. You know, someone can go right into it and really have a great time, great learning experience, and be able to have an artistic expression.
Absolutely. And you know, Joe, just one thing I want to throw in there really quick. I know Charles already has a program, and I let him know earlier, but anybody who gets the program, you can get support from me by going to createmusicalforms.com and just clicking Contact Us and just go, Kathy, help. You know, this is what I'm doing. And if you have questions or if you're in the process and you have a question, just email me, and I'll get back with you or I'll give you a call. You know, just I just want people to know that, you know, I'm very committed to making sure that you get, you know, the program and you're able to use it the way you intend to. So you're not abandoned after the purchase.
That's absolutely true. And of course, even if you have questions prior to getting the program,
oh, yeah,
certainly contact Kathy as well for that. Listen, I want to thank everyone for coming and joining us today. Very exciting and unique topic. And, you know, I think schools that take advantage of it will certainly see some benefits, get this program up and running and going smooth. You know, those are the schools that could really take advantage of some fun things this summer as well during those very questionable retention months, where you can have, you know, if it takes 8 weeks to get a program from A to Z, you might want to incorporate this into some kind of summer program as well, help keep your students motivated during the summer months, and also to attract students into the program for July and August for possible regular enrollment in September. So, well, anyway, that's the salesperson, me just throwing in my
next. Actually, it's a good idea. Summer camps can be really long.
Exactly. We can keep going all day, Kathy. Why end it here? anyway, thank you very much for joining us. Kathy, thank you very much as well. And we'll see you next month.
All right. Thanks for coming, you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.